Question everything.
Hi, beautiful souls. Welcome back to Question Everything with your girl, Kelsey, and
Natalia.
This is going to be our last week actually together, so sad face. But we just finished recording our episode with Nick Hinton, and wow,
yeah, is all we can say.
I don't know what to do with myself now. I never said I knew everything, but I do know a chunk of information, a chunk of conspiracy theories. Compared to the regular person, I think if someone came up to me and asked me about Mandela Effect or vaccine or reptilians, like, I'd know a good chunk, right? But after talking to Nick, I don't know anything. I don't know anything at all. I retire. My career is over. I'm just kidding. Yeah, wow. He is very smart, has so much knowledge about everything, and explains things so well. You guys are going to enjoy it. And I know you guys want me to stop talking so you can listen to the episode, but I did want to give a little quick intro to this episode because I've been wanting to talk about something that has been kind of in recent news. Not really. I honestly even told Nick this, that I haven't really been paying attention to social media as much, and you guys know I hate the media, so I don't even watch the media. So when I hop on and you guys send me stuff or tag me in things, that's how I figure things out, or that's how I figure out what's going on in Hollywood or in the world. So I'm just giving that disclaimer out, because a lot of the times when I bring things up, people are like, that's old news. I'm just like, well, I'm just trying to stay off as much as I can, even though I know that my content is online. But anyways, so I did want to bring up the little Nas situation, because a lot of people have tagged me on TikTok to talk about it. And then a lot of people too on Twitter and Instagram have DM'd me to see my, I guess, thoughts and to break it down. But, like, you're going to listen to me and Nick talk about it for, like, a couple seconds. But we both said the same thing, how there's nothing really to break down. It's really just in your face of what the industry is. And, I mean, there's little things in it that can be considered symbolism, but I just think it's straight up in your face. And I also think that this is a distraction. I was telling Natalia this yesterday when we were driving. I was like, this whole little Nas thing, like, I'm not going to give it power or talk about it, even though everyone wants me to talk about it, because I don't want to give that energy power. I don't want to give that lower vibration entity, I don't know what you want to call it, power. So I honestly just think it's another distraction, and there's no reason to talk about it. And I know the reason people like talking about these things is because, like, oh, it's controversial, or it's a conspiracy theory, it's entertaining, it's... We just kind of watched half of the video just now, and like I said, it's straight in your face. There's nothing to talk about.
What you think it is, it is.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. Drop mic. I mean, there's nothing much to say about it, and I guess those are my thoughts, because I have no thoughts on it. Head empty, no thoughts. I'm sorry to disappoint. I don't like focusing on the negative aspects as much as I used to when I talked about Pizzagate a year ago, or when I talked about all those celebrities and the sacrificing and all that. I just think it takes away from my own power, and it gives the other entity, energy source, whatever you want to call it, power, and I don't want to do that. So I obviously don't agree with what's going on, or I don't agree with his message, or selling shoes with human blood in it. And I just want to know where he got that blood. But that's the only thing I want to know out of everything. But I do think it's weird, and I think it's in plain sight. And that's basically all my thoughts. But yeah, that's all that I wanted to say about that, just because I've been getting a lot of questions about it. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this episode, because I did, and now I'm gonna go stare at the ceiling and question my whole reality, because Nick just blew my whole mind up, and he's so great, and yeah, you guys will very much enjoy this. Any last words, Nat?
Prepare to have your mind blown. That's it.
So I am super stoked for this episode today because it took a long while to get him on, but I finally got the king of Twitter threads on to talk about a lot of things, especially the Saturn Time Cube. So I am really excited to welcome Nick Hinton. Hi, Nick. Thanks so much for being on.
Hi, Kelsey. Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right. So who are you? Explain to the audience who you are, how you got so big on Twitter.
I mean, I guess I'll just go with my generic bio, which is just a philosopher, a thinker, author, podcaster. Now I have my own podcast, so I guess I can say that. But yeah, honestly, the crazy thing about the Twitter blow up was I was actually just doing affirmations at the time saying I was going viral because I was watching a bunch of like YouTubers and people like that at the time, content creators. And I was just like, dude, these people basically talk about nothing. Like, I felt like if I had a platform, I would use it to, you know, talk about things that I think actually matter. And so I just started doing affirmations and writing like goals out in a journal. And it somehow just happened. It didn't happen the way I expected, which was I didn't expect the first Saturn Time Cube thread to blow up like it did, but that's how it happened.
That's crazy. But I love your intentions behind it, that you wanted to put meaning into something that goes viral, unlike the things that actually go viral nowadays. It's, yeah, I love that.
Right.
I'm the same way. Like, if something goes viral for me, it has to have meaning. It has to have intention. So I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have been asking me to talk about the Saturn Time Cube for a while now. And they actually, the reason I found you is because when I was pretty big on TikTok and I was talking about all these conspiracy theories as well, they were sending me your threads. And I was like, oh my God, who is this guy? Like, why does he know so much? So I started following you. And then I was trying to look into the Saturn Time Cube. And then I even listened to a lot of podcasts that you've been on. You're very popular. And so I was trying to get more information on it. And I just want you to explain it because everything I look into, even other people who try to explain it, I'm like, wait, what is this?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not even that good at explaining it because it's so complex. That's why I wrote like the entire book, because it's just, there's so many weird little like oddities and religion and culture and pop culture and architecture that, you know, there's these black cubes everywhere. And the way I stumbled upon the Saturn Time Cube in the first place was I was just watching, like literally 10 years ago, I was watching this guy named Occult Science 101. He's been kicked off YouTube, but he used to be on there. And he was just talking about the Saturn or the hexagon on top of Saturn. And when I watched that video, I was just mind blown because, you know, people don't talk about that. People don't talk about the fact that there's a hexagon on top of Saturn. I just thought that was super odd and super interesting. And I felt like it should be common knowledge. Like, we should hear that in school. Like, there's a giant hexagon on top of a planet. Like, that doesn't make sense. But this occult science guy, he started talking about how if you connect some lines on the inside of a hexagon, you get a two-dimensional view of a three-dimensional cube. And then he started talking about, you know, all these black cubes everywhere and how the black cube is actually a symbol of Saturn. So the black cube, I believe, is a 3D representation of a four-dimensional cube. And a four-dimensional cube is a tesseract or time cube. And the reason I believe that this cube is associated with time is not only is the fourth dimension time, but Saturn is, in Greek mythology, he was Kronos, the god of time. So that's where the name the time cube comes from. And it seems like all the Abrahamic religions worship Kronos, the father god, the god of time, because, you know, at Mecca, you have a giant black cube that people walk around counterclockwise, like Saturn's rings. There's a certain sect of Judaism where they wear black cubes around their wrist and on their forehead called Teflon. And yeah, I think Christianity, the Ark of the Covenant is basically a cube. Jesus died on the cross, which is an unfolded cube. And I think there's symbolism in that too. I think Jesus, whether he was a real person or allegory or whatever, I do not know, but I do think there's power in his story. And I think he was showing us the way out of the cube. And he actually ended basically, you know, there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I personally believe that the Old Testament God was Saturn and Jesus was totally separate because he was all about love and not any of these crazy rules like stoning people and not eating shrimp. He didn't care about any of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So do you think that the cube is the headquarters of the simulation, or that's where I can't wrap my head around? Like, is it, people worship it, I understand that, but
right.
Is it the computer system? Like, that's where I'm like, what is the correlation?
Yeah, so, I mean, they do have these giant black cube computers called D-Wave computers, which are quantum computers. They say they're able to, like, the people who create them literally say that they're able to tap into parallel universes, that they could simulate entire universes. And that is kind of what got me on the train of thought that maybe we live inside of the time cube. And there's plenty of movies that kind of talk about that. Like, there's even a movie called Hypercube where there's people trapped in this Tesseract. Trying to think of the main movie I saw that really got me thinking about that. Well, I mean, so recently I just posted that screenshot from South Park where these aliens trap the Earth inside of a cube. But yeah, I kind of think it's like an interdimensional prison. And I think that the way it works is inside the study of cymatics is the study of how sound effects matter. And so if you play a low frequency sine tone next to water or sand or something, the frequency of a low frequency sine tone actually creates a hexagon in a medium. So I think that there's some sort of frequency being emitted from Saturn's North Pole, which is creating this hexagon. And I think that frequency has kind of hijacked our brain and trapped us in a perceptual box. That's why they say think outside of the box. And I think that's what's limiting our perspective, because we can only see so much of the light spectrum and stuff like that. So I think that's what is affecting our perception to make us live in a metaphorical cube.
Wow, my mind is absolutely blown. That's so crazy. I love the way you like broke everything down too, because that's the way we talk about things. So this is Natalia. She's my co-host for.
Hi, I'm on here too.
But every time
nice
talk
to
about,
meet you.
Me too. Sorry, I should have introduced earlier. But that's how we talk about things, and we like break it down, and we go down, and we're just like, whoa, did we just discover something?
We question that, and then the little things, and then we just keep going even deeper.
But now that you talked about like the symbolism, like okay, this is kind of funny. But on I think it was a SpongeBob movie or an episode of SpongeBob where the alien dolphin talks about like the end of the world or something, and they have Bikini Bottom in a cube. I'm pretty sure it was Bikini Bottom. I don't know, but there was a cube. So now I'm thinking of all the cube symbolism in Hollywood, and I'm just like, what? Wow.
I think I do remember that. And then and Jupiter and Saturn crash into each other, right? And the rings fall off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so if you think that we live in a simulation, because we were talking about this the other day too, the only thing that I like kind of stop myself is kind of, because I believe that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So right. Would that like diminish our spirit because we're computers, or like we're in a computer? Like, I mean, do AIs have souls?
I don't believe it diminishes our spirit at all. No, I think it's like, have you heard the phrase ghost in the machine? I think that's kind of what our souls are. We're like, you know, I think there's something transcendent about consciousness, and that doesn't matter whether the world that we perceive as code or ones and zeros or not. I don't think that takes away from us being spiritual beings at all. I think that we're put into this world to experience and kind of learn I think what the point of the simulation is to place limitations on us so we have something to push up against. And that creates a catalyst for our own psychological and spiritual evolution to see what we're capable of. Because if there is no challenge, there would be nothing to do. You know what I mean? So life would be boring if we didn't have anything to push up against, which are the walls of the simulation, I guess.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so people do compare the Saturn time cube to Satan. So do you believe, because I was listening to another podcast that you were on, and you said that you don't precisely believe that Satan is a man. You like think that it's an interpretation of Saturn. So because I honestly think that because I believe that God is consciousness, like we are all having like the Christ consciousness inside us, and that
right.
source. So in comparison, if I guess opposite of that would be Satan. And if I don't believe that God is a man, I don't believe that Satan is a man either. So Satan would be another energetic source, right? So would that be like the demiurge, or would that be, because I know you talked about that too.
Yeah. So I think Saturn is more like the demiurge and Satan is like an energy. The Satan that we think is real, the one or that most people think is real, like the red dude with horns and goat feet and whatever. I think that's more of a thought form, or like a, trying to think of an egregore. An egregore is basically a being that's it's like a psychic manifestation. When enough people focus on an idea, it manifests into reality. And so I think that's what the devil actually is. It's all those stories have convinced people to kind of create that thought form.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think Saturn's inherently bad. I think it's just got negative and positive aspects, and what the elite have done, or some other ultra-terrestrial beings in the far away past, have amplified the negative aspects of Saturn. And I think that's being done through the cube worship and things like that, you know, the worship of limitation. But yeah, so Saturn is comparable to Satan because it's the sixth planet from the sun. Saturn day is the sixth day of the week. That's the day of that was the original Sabbath, when people would worship God or, you know, rest or mm-hmm. whatever. And then, you know, the hexagon is a six-sided shape. So you have 666. And I think, like I said, I think the negative energy from the hexagon is being amplified through the rings, which sounds ridiculous, but there is a book called Saturn's Ring Makers, where supposedly a NASA scientist kind of found evidence that there are alien ships in the rings that are building the rings. And David Icke says they're kind of like an amplification system for whatever frequency is coming out of that hexagon. And like I said, there's that a low frequency sine tone creates a hexagon and a medium. And so if you're familiar with sine waves in school, when you want to create a sine wave on your calculator, you press the sin button. And mm-hmm. so the Bible says we're born into sin and that's why we die. Well, I personally believe that we're born into the sine wave, so that's why we die. And that's the time wave. We're born into time, so we die. And the sine wave and the sine wave even looks like a serpent. And if you put a sine wave on its side, you know, you flip it up 90 degrees, it looks like a dollar sign. They say time is money, money is time, and money rules the world. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So there you have more comparisons to Satan and the serpent and stuff like that.
Wow.
So much.
Like, wow. And that just like rolled off his tongue. Like, how do you do that?
That's it amazing. Makes so much sense.
It though. Does.
It's not always that easy.
Wow. Like, if anyone's listening to this and you're high, like, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. A lot of my listeners listen to my podcast high and they always message me and they're like, yeah, this is the episode. This is the one. So, wow. Yeah. I'm just like questioning even more now. Question everything, guys.
There's more to question.
I know. Okay. Well, now that, okay. So I made two episodes about space, which was, one was the fake moon. And in the fake moon theory, they also talk about the radiation the moon gives off, which is also negative radiation that the quote unquote reptilians were using. And then there was the other episode I studied about the secret space program. And one of the victims, he talked about how they were never allowed to go to Saturn. So now it all makes sense.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. He, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Tony Rodriguez, and he's been so open about his story. And there's also Corey Good, I believe. But Tony talks about how he got taken up to space and all that. And his memory started coming back because he got an MRI scan, and I don't know what electromagnetic field waves that did to him, but his memory started coming back and he started remembering all these things. And he talks about how there was like trains and like kind of like time portals that he would hop from planet to planet, but he was never allowed to go to Saturn, which is,
oh wow.
No.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of I think his name's Andrew Basiago. I might be butchering that.
Oh yeah. He
was that lawyer that was running for president, and he said that there was those time hop rooms that could take you to different planets and stuff like that, which is just interesting because, you know, he was a person who obviously had his life together. I mean, he was running for president and he's a lawyer, so like, these things all sound very crazy, but, you know, kind of credible and respectable people talk about them.
Yeah. He also talks about how, like, all the presidents have to go back in time. And he, like, him, Obama, I think Clinton, they all traveled back in time together. I don't know the whole story, but
right. It could all be, honestly, a psyop. I mean, these people could be paid to just tell nonsensical stories. I'm kind of skeptical about everything I hear in the Secret Space program, but I definitely find it fascinating.
Oh yeah, me too. I've always been fascinated in space, and like now with this Saturn Time Cube, I'm like, what? So okay, in my last episode, we talked about how we might live in a dome. Well, okay, so that's kind of like the flat Earth theory, but I'm more leaning towards like the hollow Earth theory. But I also I have an open mind. I'm not biased. I don't attach myself to my beliefs, and I believe you don't either, because everything you talk about, you're just like, I'm open to everything. So, but
right.
Do you believe that we are in a dome like thing? No. A dome, but like what were we saying? Like a snow globe?
Yeah,
because people say space is fake. I don't believe that. I believe that there is space, but we can't go that far. So we're in a dome, but the space is in the dome.
Okay. Yeah. I honestly don't know what I believe about the shape of the Earth. I mean, that's something I like think about all the time, because I mean, if you just take an hour and listen to the flat Earth people, it kind of makes sense, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
but then also you have all the Secret Space program people who are talking about, you know, ball planets and stuff like that. And like I said, I'm open to the idea that most astronauts and Secret Space program whistleblowers and insiders are actually victims of MKUltra, where they, you know, they just think they experience these things. And so they're being allowed to tell their stories just to kind of muddy the waters and confuse people. But also, there's a part of 1984 by George Orwell where he talks about how, so it's like the main character, the protagonist, is like arguing with the villain, the leader of the party or something like that. And he's like, Winston, it doesn't matter whether the Earth is flat or round. It's whatever we say it is. And I think that's true. I think, you know, so if a dreamer dreams, you know, if you have a dream tonight that you're in space and you see a flat Earth, and then your friend, you know, has a dream that they see a bunch of ball planets, whose experience is more correct? You know, I don't think one invalidates the other. I think space is more like an astral realm or a dream realm where consciousness really affects perception way more directly than in this like denser realm.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. I mean, me and Nikki talked about that too when I had her on. She was like talking about how everyone's experience is their own. Well, because the universe's experience everyone through individual humans. So she was like, how can someone invalidate someone else's experience if that's what they are experiencing? So I love that.
Right. have you ever seen those pictures, those like it's like the lady who can appear as a beautiful young woman or like a ugly old lady depending on your perspective, or yeah, like the pictures of it's like a rabbit and a duck at the same time depending on how you look at it?
Yes.
I think that's also how the universe works. It's all about perspective, and I think consciousness literally affects the way that the realm, I think we're, like I said, I think it's a simulation, I think it's a realm. So like your perspective will affect the way that you perceive the shape of the planet, I guess. I mean, that's my best guess about what the actual shape is.
Wow. Okay, so I wanted to touch up on symbolism, because you did talk about the symbolism of the cube in the movies. And in one episode that you were on, you talked about, well, I call it the law of consent, but you said something different. What did you call it?
Consensus reality?
No, when they put out their plan, like in movies and shows.
Oh yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I forget. I know exactly what you're talking about, where they have to, basically the universal law is like, so the elites know that they cannot infringe on our free will. So they have to tell us their plan straight up in order to not get an obnoxious amount of bad karma.
Yeah.
And so they put their plans out wide open. And as long as we are not doing anything about it, we're basically consenting. So it's our own fault that we're not educated enough to realize that they're telling us what they're going to do. And I personally believe that everything's inverted in this world. So the news is fake and the movies are real.
I love that. Yeah, that's so true. Because we were watching this movie last weekend called Knowing with Nicolas Cage, and it was so good. But also, side note, the, I guess, producer company of it was called Saturn. It was called,
oh, yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
It was called Saturn, like, I don't know,
so but anyways, something.
Yeah, but we were watching that movie, and I was telling her, I was like, if they can fake the news in movies, they can fake the news in real life. And also, it just seemed more realistic than actual life. I don't know. I love symbolism in movies, but people are always like, "Oh, you're reaching. It's just a movie." But that's what they want. They want you.
Yeah, they want you to think you're crazy.
Yeah, desensitize it.
Right, right. I personally believe anything we can imagine is possible. I think whatever the imagination can conceive of can actually become a reality.
Yeah.
Or else we wouldn't be able to think about it. I mean, that's just what makes sense to me.
That's why I've been trying to stay away from focusing on all the little details and all the conspiracy theory, like the negative side of it, at least. I mean, I like to bring awareness to it. And I, at first, when I started this, I was obsessed and like going crazy with it. But then I realized I was going down with it. Like I was in a negative hole and stuff. So I think that the more we focus on the negative, the more power we give it. And like you said, that's what we're going to perceive. And that's what I think that's what's happening right now with all this like vaccine stuff and all the people.
Yeah.
With it on Twitter and stuff, it's just like focus on you, focus on your like we said last week. But the whole like little Nas thing right now is like going crazy, and everyone wants me to talk about it, but I'm just like, I don't want to give power to it. I don't want to keep that going.
Right. I mean, the way that I've been thinking about it lately is like the news is almost like a crazy person standing across the street just yelling at you as you're trying to walk home. Yeah. And so it's kind of possible to ignore and just, you know, go your own way. But it seems like these days it's almost like, what happens when that crazy person follows you home, you know, and then breaks in your house? I feel like that's happening more and more. So I've been trying to think of like ways to solve that problem. And I kind of think it's like, I mean, do you fortify your own house or do you move away to the do you move away to the mountains? I don't know. But yeah, it's obnoxious at this point. So sometimes I just have to take breaks from social media and just, you know, like I'm doing now, just sitting outside. Like the world is very normal where I am. It's sunny and there's birds and everything's good. So
yeah, I'm the same way. I've been not that like constant on, and like even I didn't even know about this whole little Nas thing or the other BS going on. Like we're just like outside doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And then I go on and people are just like, Kel, let's talk about this. Like look into this. Yeah. I'm like,
Yeah. Someone literally messaged me the other day and they're like, can you break down the symbolism in the little Nas video? And I was like, it's not even symbolism. It's just straight up. It's just straight up. It is what it is. Like I don't need to do any decoding for you to understand what that's about.
Yeah, I actually got a comment before you hopped on that they were like, Kelsey, please talk about this, like break it down for us. And I was just like, what? What is it break down? Everything's there. I don't know. It's crazy. And people are obsessed with this stuff. I mean, it's kind of cool looking into it and kind of having that interest of knowing the unknown. But like I've always said, you have to accept not knowing everything and not being okay with not knowing what's going to happen and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's super true. I mean, one of the things I'm obsessed with is like at the end of Buddha's life, he refused to talk about philosophy anymore. He's like, is this going to help you? You know, if we sit here and debate philosophy all day, is this going to help you ascend to nirvana? Like, no, it's not. So like, just sit down, be quiet and focus on, you know, your inner world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all ego, to be honest.
Yeah, it is kind of, it's just like, it's more of a distraction, you know, intellectual debate is just another form of entertainment in a way.
Oh yeah, that's a good way to put it. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you also talk about how we died in 2012, and I want to know more about that.
Okay, so like you said earlier, you know, I don't really attach myself to any belief 100%. And that's kind of my whole philosophy lately is I've been reading a lot of Robert Anton Wilson, who his whole idea was to be mystically agnostic. So you can like entertain any model of the universe you want, but you don't accept any of them 100%. And I really like that idea. But the whole 2012 thing is, it basically started with figuring out that in 2012, we found the Higgs boson. And right before Stephen Hawking died, he was warning people that if we ever found the Higgs boson, which is like the God particle, if we ever found it, there was a possibility we could disturb the Higgs field, which would cause a catastrophic vacuum decay, basically meaning that the whole universe would dissipate faster than the speed of light and we wouldn't even notice it. So I was thinking that, you know, it seems like after 2012, we did enter a new world. Like I think that the old world ended and we were transferred over to a completely new one where things are just pretty insane.
I mean, that makes sense. The whole Mandela effect with CERN lab too, and how the Mandela effect, it started, or people noticed it, started noticing it in 2013. So it makes sense that we like hopped into a different realm or world or something. Yeah.
Right.
And then people even like compare it to, because I talked about this on TikTok like last summer, but people compared it to how people think that Bill and Melinda Gates have already died and Hillary and Bill Clinton have died. So maybe that was in the old world, and in this world, they're alive. I don't know, but I thought that was
possible. The craziest Mandela effect that got me about the whole 2012 thing was the Statue of Liberty. So I feel like I was taught in school that the Statue of Liberty was on Ellis Island, but it turns out it's always been on Liberty Island, which I never even heard of. And the other crazy thing about that is the Statue of Liberty's torch has been closed for over 100 years, but I found older people on like trip reports, like, you know how people rate trips online? Mm-hmm. There was people talking about visiting the torch, which is just impossible. And so there's a lot of people with memories of visiting the torch, even though it's been closed for over 100 years. And that's actually because there was the biggest explosion, non-nuclear explosion on U.S. soil in history in like 1916, I think. And it was called the Black Tom explosion. It was where I believe it was the Germans who basically lit on fire one of our like ammo depositories or something like that. It was somewhere where we stored ammo, and they lit it on fire and it exploded, and it damaged the torch.
Oh.
And so why didn't we learn about the Black Tom explosion in school? So I don't remember that at all. It was the first terrorist attack on U.S. soil, and we didn't even hear about it. I remember it being 9/11 was the first one, Pearl Harbor. But yeah, there's I don't remember anything about Black Tom. I don't remember anything about Liberty Island. And so that was the main Mandela effect that got me into the whole 2012 thing.
Wow. That's crazy. I think I have seen pictures of people talking about the Statue of Liberty and how they're like, there was a picture that I saw. They were standing in front of something, but there was nothing behind them, as if it like disappeared. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. What? Yeah, there was a whole Facebook album I found where people like, so if you just search like Statue of Liberty on Facebook, I don't know if the pictures are still around, but I was looking at them at one point. There's all these pictures of people just standing in front of the water, and like the tag says, like, they're at the Statue of Liberty. And it's like, why are you posing in front of nothing? It's really creepy to look at.
That's the only thing like I don't understand about Mandela effects is how do we switch over to another universe, but there's still little things that, like the Chick-fil-A thing. Remember I told you, yeah, like, because we were looking at this one, and now people say that it used to be C-H-I-C Filet, and now it's C-H-I-C-K. But I was like, if it did switch over, wouldn't the pictures also switch over, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about this.
So how are there little details that, you know, are still
like, do they want
I have no idea how that works, to be honest. But I mean, yeah, that's just called residue, which is like basically the only way we'd be able to tell if a Mandela effect really happened. And Philip K. Dick actually talked about that long before simulation theory was even possible. I think it was like the 80s, he was talking about living in a simulation. And he's like, the only way we'd be able to tell if we actually lived in a simulation is if there was some alteration in history. And I think he was talking about the Mandela effect long before it became a thing. But Chick-fil-A, I definitely remember it being C-H-I-C because I used to drive past it every day on my way to work, and I would just be so mad. I would just look at the sign. I would just look at the sign and be like, that is the stupidest way to spell Chick-fil-A. It should have a K.
I remember it being CHA. That's funny. Okay, so speaking of CERN Lab, because the whole Mandela effect thing, and I've talked about this on my TikTok and also on my podcast, but what do you think they're doing there? Everyone says different things, but I want to know your opinion.
Well, they literally straight up say that they're looking for other dimensions. So that's what I think. I think that they're trying to open portals into other dimensions. I mean, yeah, that they straight up say that on their website. And I don't know what that really implies. Like, you know, there's some people who think they're trying to open the bottomless pit, you know, like in the Book of Revelation. You know, they have Shiva the Destroyer standing outside, a statue of Shiva the Destroyer, which ironically, Shiva is associated with Saturn.
Oh.
And it's also built on top. This is just a rumor. I don't know if this can be confirmed, but some people believe that CERN is actually built on top of the old temple of Apollyon, which in Revelation it says that the king of the bottomless pit is named Apollyon. Or no, it's the temple of Apollo, but in the Bible it says that there's a god named Apollyon who's the king of the bottomless pit. And so they also say that they're trying to create mini black holes. Well, what would a black hole be? Would that be a bottomless pit, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
I know. That's all I can say right now.
Yeah. Wow. Like, oh, I've seen the rituals done at CERN. Have you seen those videos?
The rituals, yeah. I've seen a few of them, and like they're weird artistic videos.
Yeah, like why are they doing that in a lab? That's what my question is, like, why?
Yeah. There's even one video where if you search up We Are Happy at CERN, there's like a music video where they're all dancing to that We Are Happy or the I'm happy song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one point where a CERN scientist is wearing two signs around his neck. One says Bond number one, I believe. And then the other one says Mandela. And so the first person to play James Bond was named Nelson something, I think. And so basically this guy's hinting at Nelson Mandela, Mandela effect.
Oh my God. They're just putting it out there. I mean, they have to, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to have the eye to catch it.
There's one more video. I forget what this one's called. I think it's called Symmetry, but there's people dancing around doing some really weird dance, and it reminds me of the five movements from the OA. I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
The show all about dimension jumping. And who's that guy? One of the creators of the OA, I think it was named Zhao. I don't know if I have his name correct, but anyways, before he deleted his Twitter, when the world was first kind of going crazy, he's like, this is the guy who created the OA. And he's tweeting out, hey guys, just keep in mind, this all started happening once CERN found the God particle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What?
But and he followed me for a little bit, but he recently deleted his Twitter.
Do you know why he deleted it and why he didn't do a season 3? Because I'm upset about that.
I have no idea. I think, I honestly think though, like this is going to ruin a lot of people's dreams and hopes or whatever. But I honestly think that the third season being canceled was more of like a PR marketing stunt. But I think it was a cool way of getting people to like feel like that they're in the show, because if you remember, they ended it with Britt, the main character, going on Ellen, and she's like, I dimension jumped here.
Yeah, it was a mind fuck. At the end, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Have you seen
it? I gotta watch it now.
Oh, you have to watch it. I just ruined it for you, but you have to watch
it. I won't remember by the time I watch it.
Oh my gosh. So how do you like study all this? Where did you come up with all this information? We gotta know.
Dude, I have no idea.
tell us your secrets, please.
I mean, a lot of the times it seems like I just stumble on things synchronistically. Like if I'm really interested in a subject, somehow people just start sending me DMs about it, or yeah, I'll just search up the right keywords. I really don't know how it works, but.
Yeah, you seem very knowledgeable. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, wow.
You should use DuckDuckGo, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I have too much of an ADHD brain to just focus on one thing. So I just hop from topic to theory. So I don't have that much details like in depth, like how you do. Okay, so there was another episode where you're talking about how the elite and the dark side are us projecting our shadow, and how everyone's our mirror. So I always talk about this too, and how essentially if we focus too much on whose fault is it, it's just going to take away from focusing on ourselves, and everything's a distraction. And I always say that too. But you believe that everyone else on the dark side, I guess, is our shadow from, like, I guess our internal shadow projecting.
Yeah. I think like, so I think the biggest divide and conquer PSYOP or loose harvest, I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but people keep talking about it lately, like, you know, where they try and create negative energy. The biggest divide and conquer negative energy harvest is telling us that we're separate from them. You know, it's they versus them still, or us versus them. And if we're truly all one, these people are still a part of us. Mm-hmm. And so it is like when we're saying, oh, it's their fault. Oh my God. Like, you know, you're just projecting, because if you really, you know, all solutions and all progress starts with individuals. You know, it's not going to be politics. It's not going to be some giant movement. It takes self-actualized individuals to make real change. And honestly, I don't think the elite, I mean, I think they're bad people. I think they do horrible things. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think they're bad, because it's almost like an evolutionary function. If these people weren't doing the things they're doing, there would be no reason for intelligent people to get more intelligent and for creative people to get more creative. They are just here to push us to make us come up with better and better solutions. And if we don't do that, then we don't really, it sounds bad, but we don't really deserve to evolve.
Yeah.
Because we haven't passed that phase.
Wow, that's a great point. That's a great way to put it. I love that. Nick Hinton for president. He got my vote.
Definitely don't want that job.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. What are your thoughts on the Illuminati and the sacrifices and all that? So you believe it happens and all that, but you just explained everything basically. But what are your thoughts on the Illuminati?
I mean, yeah, I think they're real. And I think they do horrible, awful things. But I also believe that it's way more gray rather than black and white. I think it's not one super organized group. I think it's all compartmentalized. And I think there's people that are, they're like gears or cogs in a machine. And a lot of them don't even know what they're doing. I think a lot of people are just doing things the best way they know. I'm more so talking about like government people. Like, I don't think everyone in the government's a part of some crazy conspiracy. I think that they're just doing exactly what they think they should do. And no one has the full picture. So it gets really confusing. And it's really easy to say, oh, there's just one group who's scripting and controlling everything and making everything super fucked up. That's almost like a comfort type thing, you know, it gets rid of your own self-responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. We were talking about Kanye West.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Because Kevin Hart was talking about how no one in the industry really knows what's going on, just like certain people do. And I think it's a lot deeper than people realize, even in the government. Like you said, I don't think that everyone's evil. And I always say that too. Yeah. Like, there's equal bad and equal good everywhere, but I feel like not everyone knows what is going on. Only the people like us that like to question everything and dig things up know a little bit of what's going on.
Right. I mean, where do you draw the line between hot and cold? I mean, you know when something's hot and you know when something's cold, but where is the line where you'd say, okay, no, this is hot and no, this is cold? I think that's how it is with these people. Like, there's a gray area where they just don't know what's going on. And honestly, I think some of these artists that are putting out this symbolism really think that they're just coming up with these ideas by themselves. But
that's so true.
I think some of these people are getting their ideas from other beings and they don't even know about it. Or some people are so mind controlled that they think they have free will, but they're really just doing the bidding of their handlers. And they might not even be aware that they have a handler.
That's so true. Wow. All the MK Ultra and all that shit. Have you heard of a neuro monitoring by Robert Duncan?
Is that a book?
No, it's a program. It's kind of like MK Ultra, and Robert Duncan, I don't know if he was the one who was a whistleblower or someone who was working with him was a whistleblower, but they were working on the neuro monitoring. I don't know. It's kind of like MKUltra, but it goes deeper and it goes into the collective consciousness, and it kind of makes people think that their house is haunted and goes into your head, speaks voices into your head, like telepathically. Like, it's by the military, and I guess he was a scientist working on it. And I don't know. I haven't really read into it, but I was wondering if you knew more about that.
Oh yeah, I've definitely heard of similar things. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard that name for it, but I know that there are patents for like different technologies that can make people think they're hearing voices. They can even create sensations on your skin to make you feel pain, or like there's things crawling on you. And there's this idea, or actually it's a real thing that I just recently started studying, and I wrote about it a while ago. It's called the sentient world simulation, where the University of Purdue said they want to create, and they are creating, and it's already being built, a perfect mirror model of the world. And basically that's where all of our data is going, because we know realistically that there's not like one FBI agent for each person in America. Yeah. just watching what we're doing. So what the idea is that Purdue University wants to create this mirror model of the world in a simulation, and basically all of your like your frequent locations, your search results, all of that data that these apps are collecting from you, they're being used to create a digital avatar of you that behaves just like you in the simulation. And so there's some conspiracy theorists that believe that we are actually, because the simulation is being built in a quantum computer, people believe we can become quantumly entangled with our avatar, or like psychically linked to it. And so if if someone who's running the simulation decides to mess with someone's brain in the simulation, it would actually affect your own brain. And they can make you think that you're seeing UFOs. They can make you think you're hearing voices. They can do whatever they want to you through a program. Jeez. And Ray Kurzweil, the, I think like the CEO or director of Google, he's actually straight up said that like by 2030, we will have nanobots that they spray in the skies. And these nanobots can actually go, you know, you breathe them in, and they'll go into our bloodstreams and go into our brains, and they can map our brain, and they can actually emit frequencies that put us into a simulation. You know, they can emit frequencies in between neurons and put us into a virtual reality. And that's what Ray Kurzweil wants to do by 2030.
What the hell?
Take me out. UFOs,
where you at? Please take, what?
I think that's already happening. I mean, there's articles in Forbes and MIT where they say, yeah, we're already spraying smart dust in the sky. And smart dust are these tiny little like nanobots. And there's these things called artificial atoms, I believe. I think they're called artificial atoms, but they're also called quantum dots if you want to look that up. And they say that they want to create Skynet with them and spray them in the sky.
Well, at that point, how would we perceive reality? Like, what would we think is real? Like,
nothing. Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of already that way anyway.
I mean, yeah. So. True. But like, if it's not our own thoughts or our own feelings or our own sensations, what's the point? Okay.
So I honestly think it might already be that way, though, that we don't actually, you know, you don't choose where you're born. You don't choose who your parents are. You don't choose the experiences that shape who you are. And so this gets into the whole free will thing versus determinism. But I think, yeah, a lot of our decisions are just subconscious programs that we're not even really in control of. Wow. But there is a way to fix that. I mean, you can learn to program yourself, but I do think for a while you basically have strings attached to you. And I think like part of enlightenment is learning to cut those strings.
That's true. Stepping into your power. Yeah. Wow. Well, then, okay. Then people are saying that, I mean, you've heard all the theories of the vaccine, right? I'm sure you have. The Lucifer race one, where I guess there's going to be it's not even a vaccine. I think it's a patch or something. I don't even know. I looked this up like a while ago, but they were talking about how it's going to go inside us and they can track our health and our, I don't know. But wouldn't that be like kind of the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people on the internet talking about how this vaccine is it's a part of that sentient world simulation thing where something about how if they change your DNA, they can actually change your bioresonance frequency. And so if they know your bioresonance frequency, they can actually use radio waves to send direct messages to your DNA. And that just sounds super crazy, but that's what I've been getting into lately. And I don't really know like the science of it yet, but that's one idea that's floating around out there.
I mean, I've seen, we saw this other video of this psychic medium talking about how she reads auras, and she was in a taxi with this one guy who had just been vaccinated. And when she looked at his aura, it was like static. Like it was gone. It was static and it was just like a TV kind of looking thing. So she was like, is this vaccine like taking away people's souls? Is it lowering their vibrations?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it might be. Are you familiar with Rudolf Steiner?
No.
So he was a philosopher and like a mystic who he talked about this a very long time ago, like early 1900s, I think. I might be butchering that. But he basically said that eventually they'll come up with medicinal ways to get rid of people's souls. And he was talking about this a super long time ago. So
wow,
it's just really weird, you know, that someone would say something like that without even seeing the way the world is today.
Yeah. Wow. Makes sense. Yeah. Wow. Now I'm just like, well, what do I do with my life?
Oh my God. Further down.
Nothing matters. I'm having another awakening. Thanks, Nick.
Questioning. Move to the mountains. More than anything.
Honestly, I was just talking today. Let's not do anything. No, I love this.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. So now I don't even know what to ask now.
I'm having no thoughts.
No thoughts.
Wow.
No, I definitely didn't. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it definitely is a black pill.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you never stop waking up, so.
I know. Mm-hmm.
What was the video that I showed you earlier that I was like, oh, I need to mention this?
Which one?
Oh, the Denver airport. Your Denver airport video.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So was that like in the beginning of your journey, or like, were you already like awake? Did you know about the Denver report? How did you catch that?
Oh yeah. I mean, when I was like, I think I was 16 when one of my like friends, you know, someone I kind of looked up to, cause I was like a freshman and he was like a senior and we played football together. So I kind of looked up to him and respected his opinion. And he showed me this video one time about the Denver airport conspiracy. And ever since then, like he didn't even care about it that much. He's like, this is really interesting. You should watch this. And then like, you know, he kind of just dropped it, but I became obsessed. And that was like one of my first awakening moments. Before that, I was kind of just like an atheist and I read like Stephen Hawking books and shit like that. And I was just obsessed with science. And I thought the Bible was a fairy tale. But after getting into like the whole conspiracy realm, I started to connect dots and realize that there is a spiritual aspect to all this. But so, yeah, I was familiar with the Denver airport conspiracy for a really long time. And that was one of the first ones I ever studied. And so I was awake, and this was like 2 years ago. I had just moved to California to meet with like a director about some sort of, I think he wanted to do like a documentary about my book or something, but Corona hit and nothing panned out. And I decided to move home again. And on my way home, I stopped at the Denver airport, and every like 15 minutes or so that creepy message would go off. So I just knew to start recording.
Oh my gosh. If you guys haven't watched it, the people who are listening, just look up Nick Hinton Denver airport and it will come up, because that's what I did. And wow, it's really scary.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. It sounds like a demon.
Yeah, we were just there like 3 weeks ago, and just like the energy in that building is insane.
Yeah, and it's freaking massive.
They're building like a layer underneath now. I don't even know.
They're adding to it?
So there's like construction all over, and there's like signs that say, yes, we're building an Illuminati layer underneath. And yes, like the world.
Underground tunnel.
Yeah, the end of the world.
Everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, I got some pictures of those posters.
Yeah. And I mean, my brother just moved there, so that's why we were there. But he said that they're actually building like a museum kind of thing, because it's known for their conspiracies. So I think they're using it as a way to get profit, but they're actually building like a kind of museum layer thing.
Yeah. I mean, if there ever was some sort of apocalyptic event, I mean, I think there are underground cities that they would use to hide in. And then, you know, after it's all over, they'd come up out of the ground and take over society again. I mean, I think that's the cycle that's been happening for all of time. And that's why they hoard knowledge, and knowledge is power. So these are the only people that are in the know after every reset.
Wow.
But but I do have like a little side story. My friend, her mom was friends with Linda Goodman, and Linda Goodman would go to her house all the time. And she was like a prolific astrologer, like one of the most famous astrologers in the world, who like basically brought astrology to the West. So this lady's like really kind of tied in synchronistically to all of this weird stuff. But her sister was actually working at the Denver airport when it was first being built or first being added on to or something. And she found like a Indian arrowhead in one of the piles of dirt or something like that. And she took it home and she became really crazy. like she lost her mind and she's still not the same. Yeah.
What?
So that place is just really weird. It's got weird energy.
Yeah. And when I say that, people are like, nah, you're crazy. Like, there's nothing. Okay. I mean, there's the Dons too, the deep underground military bases that no one believes about either.
Right, right.
That's crazy. Okay. So one last question that I wanted to ask you, and then we can wrap it up. So you talked about on Twitter recently, the psychogenic illness, which is what I got from it is kind of like we're collectively manifesting an illness. And I've been saying this, like, if you concentrate on it so much, you're going to start feeling symptoms. And my parents had COVID in September, and I tested negative, but since I was living with them, I got in my head and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get sick. You know, this is going to happen. Yeah. Eventually I'm ready for it. And then I started getting symptoms, but I never tested positive. So I was like, I think I just manifested those symptoms because I didn't get it as bad as they did either. But is that what that basically is? Like the psychogenic illness.
Yeah. So psychogenic illness is basically just, it's almost like hypochondria, where someone just believes they're sick, except it's a whole group of people that all believe that they're getting sick. And it manifests into real problems, but there's no actual cause. And the interesting thing about that is that germs and viruses, I believe, are still kind of like a theory. Like, we don't even know if that's what really causes illnesses, or at least that's the way I've heard it explained. I don't know. I might be totally wrong. But what I kind of believe is that your aura, the electromagnetic field that emits from your brain and your heart, which we can prove actually exists. Mm-hmm. I think when that electromagnetic field is damaged, that's actually what makes us ill, because this, it's called a morphogenetic field in some studies, or in some fields of research. And this is actually a field of information that informs your biology, informs your DNA and how to build itself. And so if that's all messed up, your body's not going to know how to regenerate cells correctly. And that's what actually makes you ill. And I think that's where the connection from different, like, you know, every time that they create a new, like the 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, every time they create these new grids, you know, there's some sort of outbreak of disease. And I think that's why that happens, is because they're actually bombarding us with frequencies that mess up our auric field.
Yep, that makes sense. We were talking about 5G the other day because there's so many towers around us that I'm just like, it has to be 5G. I 100%
believe it. I'm noticing them pop up everywhere.
Yeah, and we're all energy and everything's energy, so that makes complete sense. Wow.
Search up germ theory. I'm pretty sure it's still a theory.
I mean, yeah.
I think we were talking about that too. We're like, how do we believe these things when most of these things in science are essentially just theories?
Yeah, everything is a theory.
Yeah, almost everything. Tectonic plates is a theory. We don't even know where the moon comes from. Everything about the moon's a theory.
Yes.
Gravity's a theory. We don't know how that works. We don't even know how lightning works.
What the hell? I know. Who's in charge? I just want to talk.
That's crazy.
All right. Oh, do you have any questions, Nat?
My jaw is on the floor.
I know. My head is like twirling right now. I'm questioning my everything. Do you have any advice for the people listening about everything going on? Like, what would, like, because all my listeners are obviously like awakening, and I try to give them the best advice on how to remain in their power and stuff. But with everything else going on externally, and like how you said that maybe by 2030 we all will be in a computer, what advice would you give my audience?
Remain mystically agnostic. Don't believe anything for 100%. Believe whatever model is helpful for you at the time, because seek and ye shall find. I mean, if you're looking for evidence that the whole world is fucked, your brain is going to find it, because that's how cognitive bias and quantum observer effect works. You're going to perceive the model of reality that you truly believe is the right one. Whatever you believe to be true will eventually be proved true. So you should pick whatever model is helpful for you. You know, believe that the world's a magical place, a synchronistic place, rather than a totally scripted and controlled one.
Yeah. Yep. Well, beautifully said. All right, Nick, where can they find you? And also, where can they buy your book? I wanted to buy it, but I couldn't find it. How do I get a copy?
Okay. So I'm just on Twitter and Instagram right now. NickHinton on both. I am working on getting a better website, so the book, like getting a book is easier, but right now I'm just selling them. You know, just DM me and I'll tell you the steps, because I'm just doing it myself through PayPal. And so DM me on Twitter, Instagram, if you're interested in getting a book.
Perfect. I will definitely hit you up with that because I want a copy. All right. Thank you so much for being on, and thank you for blowing our minds.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go stare at the ceiling for the rest of the day. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Love you. Bye.
Bye, guys.